The reading is from Matthew chapter 9 and verses 18 to 34. While Jesus was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away, the girl is not dead, sleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored to them. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. They went out and spread the news about him all over the region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisee said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Can I just say, welcome, everybody, and a special welcome to you if you're visiting us or if you're here for the first time. It's really good to have you, and we hope you feel welcome. There'll be tea and coffee after the service, so please feel free to loiter. It'd be lovely to chat to you. Thank you for coming. Now, I would suggest that one of the most significant phrases to come into circulation in the last 10 or 20 years is probably this: going viral. Going viral. When we talk about something or someone going viral, we're not talking about an illness or an infection. When something or someone goes viral, news of it spreads around the country. And thanks to the internet, it spreads rapidly around the world, even. So when something or someone goes viral, a short video on YouTube might be viewed millions of times. People then forward the video or link to their contacts over WhatsApp or email, and it becomes the thing that everyone is talking about. If I told you, hey, I saw a baby nibbling his big brother's finger, you would probably say, well, that's not news. Like, why are you telling me that? But for many people, if I said, Charlie bit my finger, they might remember this fairly harmless video from 2007. Two little boys just initially shocked, but then giggling after the little one bites his big brother's finger. And that's it. That's the video. But in no time at all, millions of people had seen the video. People were sharing it round, and then they would share it round, and then they would share it round. it had gone viral. It had spread. When I last checked, it had been seen over 800 million times on YouTube. I'd be willing to bet that at least some of you might go away this afternoon and find the video again. And why not? Charlie Bit My Finger went viral. Everyone was talking about Charlie Bit My Finger. Now, in 30 AD, people didn't have computers or smartphones. But it's probably fair to say that as far as it was possible back then, Jesus of Nazareth had gone viral. So news was spreading about him fast. News was spreading far and wide about this amazing man. People were amazed by what they were seeing him do and what they were hearing about him. Whole crowds would stand with jaws dropped by the amazing, unprecedented things that they were seeing him do. If it was 2025, people would have their phones out and the clips would have millions and millions of views. As it was back then in first century ancient Israel, Jesus had gone viral. Now, the verses that we read a moment ago, which we'll look at more closely in a minute, we could read them and just dismiss Jesus as an illusionist. We could read them and dismiss him as a magician or as a con artist. Many people have. But Matthew, the follower of Jesus who wrote this down, wants us to get a glimpse of the power and the authority of Jesus. We've seen that in recent weeks, haven't we? His power over the wind and waves. His power over evil. His power over sin. And Matthew wants us to see that Jesus has unique power, unique authority, because he is none other than the person who created this world and the person to whom it rightfully belongs. We're going to look at what Jesus did and how people responded to him. And I want us to reflect on this, and I want to urge you this morning to put your faith in the person who has power over death. If you've got your Bible still open in front of you, let's read from verse 18 again. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died." Can you blame this man for sinking to his knees in the middle of the street in front of everyone? You think he cared that people were watching him? Of course not. He knows he needs Jesus. He says, "But come, put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. But before Jesus gets there, someone else appears. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed in that moment. This woman had been on her period round the clock, day after day, week after week, month after month, non-stop, for 12 years. Can you imagine the pain and the discomfort and the exhaustion? And on top of all those things, in ancient Israel, there were a whole host of things that made men and women unclean. And God's law said that these people would need to isolate themselves for a time. They'd need to wash themselves. They couldn't just carry on with their day and go out and about. They certainly couldn't worship God with the rest of God's people. Couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't join over Zoom from home. So this woman had been hurting, bleeding, unclean, alone for 12 years. And she sneaks up behind Jesus. Just touches the edge of his cloak. Yeah, it's almost like she just gets a finger to it. And verse 22 says, she was healed in that moment. The bleeding woman is healed. Now, Jesus isn't David Blaine. He's not an illusionist. This bleeding woman isn't an actress that he's planted in the crowd in advance. He says in verse 22, take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. It's because she knew that if she came to Jesus, if she merely came to Jesus and touched his cloak, she would be healed. Now, there is no GP in the world who could do what Jesus did for this bleeding woman in that moment. Now, I think if we're honest, for many of us, especially if we've been following Jesus for a while and we've been used to reading the Bible for a while, stories like this can leave us unmoved, frankly. We gloss over it because we've become over familiar with it. And the challenge for us as Christians, especially if we've been Christians for a long time, is just to, no, wake up, look, read this. And to say this to ourselves, come on, what Jesus does here is spectacular. I mean, would you pray with me even now that God would remind you of the awesome, authoritative, compassionate power of the Son of God? What if you were to pray even this morning, just quietly to yourself, God, amaze me again. What a powerful and gentle man Jesus is. I know that many of you will either have faced ill health, or there'll be people who we love who are sick or unwell. Can I urge you today, if you're a follower of Jesus, don't give up praying for that person. Don't give up praying for their healing. Even if you've grown tired of praying, keep praying that God, the great physician, would heal them. Pray with simple, childlike faith, with childlike trust, like this bleeding woman had. She put her faith in the person that she knew had power, Jesus. Now, when we pray for healing, we know that Jesus may miraculously heal that person, or he may not, and that's his choice. And the Bible doesn't promise us that if we are followers of Jesus, that we will be completely free of sickness in this life. But the point is that when this woman was sick, when she was sick and desperate and in need of help, she turned to Jesus, the one with the power and the authority. Now, in Matthew's account, he keeps moving things quite quickly. Did you notice that as we were reading it a second ago? The events just come thick and fast. And in verse 23, Jesus carries on to the synagogue leader's house, and there are people there, a noisy crowd, wailing, crying, playing pipes, playing sad music. But these are professional mourners, if you like. That was a thing in those days. And Jesus tells them to all go away, get out. Why? Verse 24. She's not dead, but asleep. And they laugh at him. They say, what? Asleep? People weren't stupid. They knew how to identify a lifeless body. But no, out they go. And Jesus comes in, takes the dead girl by the hand, and she comes back to life again. The dead girl is raised. Now, as you can imagine that happening in Kidlington. Jesus went viral. Verse 26, news of this spread through all that region. Can I just say, if you're skeptical about this, like whether it really happened, or if you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, I don't really know what to make of this at all. I get that. And what we're reading about here isn't normal. It's not natural. And so it sounds far-fetched. People aren't healed with just a touch, you might think. People don't come back to life. Just, you know, you put a hand on them and the dead person comes back to life. That just doesn't happen, you might think. That kind of thing doesn't just happen, however much we might want it to. And while I get all that, Matthew 8 and 9 are here to show us that with the arrival of Jesus comes the arrival of a new era, because Jesus is doing a new thing. He's been using that kind of language in the verses before this one. What we're reading about here is a unique moment in history where the person who made the world comes and walks around in the world. And in this moment that the whole of history before has been waiting for, the Son of God starts undoing the brokenness of this messed up world. And in all this, he demonstrates that he has the power and the authority to make this world right again and to turn it into a world where there's no mourning and no crying or pain anymore. And all the hard things and the bad things and the sad things pass away. He reveals himself as the one who has power even over death. The first funeral that I ever went to was that of my friend Rob. He was a handyman and he had an enormous love for people. And his nickname was Bob-a-Job Rob, because he'd barely charge anyone for the work that he'd do for them. Bob-a-Job Rob. And Rob was in the prime of life, fit and healthy. And he was sitting under a tree on a beautiful summer's day. And he had a brain aneurysm. And he died. Very suddenly, just instantly. And when I think about my friend Rob, I remember that none of us knows how long we have left, do we? None of us knows when will be our last day. None of us knows when we will take our last breath. Think of the synagogue ruler we just read about, and his little girl who died. None of us know when we'll die. Now, this is all cheery stuff, isn't it? And it's a hard question to ask, and it's a hard question to answer, I think. But are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? When I think about my friend Rob, I remember that. But also I remember wonderfully that he was ready to die. Because Rob was a follower of Jesus, he had put his faith and put his trust in the person who had power over death. Jesus has come in and has so changed the game that he could stand over the still, quiet, lifeless body of a little girl and say, "She's sleeping." For the person who has faith in Jesus, we know that when we die, it will be like falling asleep, and then we will awake to find ourselves face to face with him, the one who made us, the one who loves us, and will live forever in a world where there is no more death. No more death. When Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians, he bursts into a poem from the Old Testament, a song of joy. "Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" To summarize, death has been defeated. It's over. Jesus has won. Rob knew that. And because I know that I will see Rob again. And what about you this morning? Do you know that? Do you have that assurance? Can I urge you this morning, put your faith in the person who has power over death. Carrying on with Matthew chapter 9, though, it turns out that the person with power over death can expect to have a very busy day, as you can imagine. Again, with Matthew, one thing after another, the bleeding woman is healed, the dead girl is raised, and next, the blind men see. From verse 27, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Now, we might be tempted to read Jesus' words there as, "Well, because you believed in me a lot, I'm gonna heal you a lot. I'm gonna heal you really good." Like, according to your faith. But it's more like, "Because you had faith in me, here you go." And again, just like the bleeding woman, just like the dead girl's father, faith is central. Trusting in Jesus. They know who he is. Did you notice how they address him? Son of David. Massive name. A really loaded name. Son of David. Promised king. The promised one. And they come to Jesus because they believe that he is the one with the power and authority. And they pin all their hope on him. Did you notice that after Jesus gives them their sight and he warns them not to keep quiet. He warns them to keep quiet, sorry. But they can't help themselves. Verse 31 shows Jesus is still going viral. And not only is the bleeding woman healed and the dead girl raised, but the blind men see and the mute speak. That's verses 32 to 34. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Now, it's a sad and ominous note that the passage ends on, where the Pharisees say it's by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. Because in spite of seeing Jesus doing this amazing, miraculous, powerful, compassionate ministry among the people, they get the complete wrong end of the stick. Jesus is the Son of God, displaying his power as creator and healer and restorer. There's nothing evil or dark about what he's doing. It's the complete opposite. He's God. He's God himself. All these people that we've seen in the passage today were completely desperate. And they all bore the scars of living in a broken, messed up world. But the bleeding woman, the dead girl's father, the blind men, the mute man and his friends who brought him to Jesus, they all had faith that Jesus was the one that they could turn to. And we can have that same confidence today. Jesus is the one with the power. He says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, even authority over death itself. Put your faith in him." Can we take a moment of quiet just to reflect, and then we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that not only was this world created by him and through him, it was created for him. That this world and everyone in it rightfully belongs to Jesus. We thank you, Father, for his willingness. Having created and sustained the world, to step into our world and to walk among us. Lord, we thank you that he has the power and the authority over all of creation, but over sin as well, over death, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and his power and authority, but we thank you for his compassion that we see on display this morning. We thank you for his willingness to heal and to restore and to give life to the dead. Father, we thank you so much that because of Jesus and because of his death and his resurrection, we are united to Jesus and we get to share in his death and in his resurrection. That if we're his followers, we have new life. We have new life now and stretching into eternity. Thank you, Father, that the Lord Jesus has changed the game, that we don't have to fear death anymore. That we can say with Paul, "Where, O death, is your victory?" Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust in the Lord Jesus, that we would be quick to pray for others, quick to pray for your healing touch. And Lord, I pray that you would amaze us all, that you would blow us away again by the power and the authority of Jesus, even over death. In his name we pray. Amen.